So today we want to look at this text from one of a holy letter of Yohanan, the Shaliach. And in the second letter that he wrote, in verse 9, it says, everyone... Second John chapter 1, actually, it's verse 9. Everyone who runs ahead and does not remain in the Torah of Mashiach does not have Hashem, does not have God. The one remaining in the Torah, in the teaching of Mashiach, this one has Ha'av and Ha'ben. Now, this is very important because if you don't have the doctrine, if your doctrine is off, there was a man named Charles Taze Russell, and this guy did not know the Bible. He wasn't interested. You know, as a matter of fact, he was involved in a libel lawsuit, and he was a liar. False prophets are liars. They say lies. They say lies about other people. They say lies about the Bible. They're liars. If you're a liar, if you're lying about anybody, if you're lying about a man of God, if you're lying about the Bible, you're a false prophet. And this guy said, oh yeah, I know Greek, sure. So in court, they held up the Greek alphabet, and they said, all right, Mr. Russell, would you identify these words? He couldn't identify them. He couldn't name the letters of the alphabet, so he was exposed. But here's the point. If you're not born again, you won't really listen to the scriptures. You know, you go out here on the street corner and you see these ladies and they're holding up these little magazines. If you go up to them and you say, look, this guy, Charles Taze Russell, that started your organization, he was basically a Sunday school dropout. He was a man who had real problems with the Bible. He didn't have the doctrine of the Word. He didn't bother to study the Bible in the original language. And so he started this cult, and now you're in it. And there was a man named Arius who did the same thing. I think it was the 3rd century. He taught the same heathen doctrine. Now, we know that God is Elokeinu Avinu. He is also his Mimra, and he is the Ruach HaKodesh. How do we know this? We know this because it's in the scriptures, and it's even supported by rabbinic exegesis, and it's in the Hebrew Bible. And we agree. Why do we agree? Because we have the Ruach HaKodesh who helps us to agree. Because we've been saved. But if you're not saved, if you're not born again, if you're still in darkness, if you're still in the foolishness of this world, and your mind hasn't been renewed, and you don't have the Ruach HaKodesh, you're not going to agree with the Word of God. And he didn't agree, this Arius guy. He said that Mashiach was a created creature. Now, even the rabbinic exegesis knows that that's not true. And so Arius came up with this thing, and in the councils he was anathematized as a heretic and thrown out. But does this mean anything when you go up to these ladies and they're holding these little magazines with the little zombie look in their eyes, that glazed over look in their eyeballs, and you tell them, look, your founder, this guy 100 years ago that did this, that died on a train, after he led thousands to hell, he's just a Johnny come lately Arian. He's teaching a heresy that's almost 2,000 years old. And this doesn't bother you? Nope, doesn't bother them at all. They just look at you like cows. Doesn't bother them at all. Listen, friend, it ought to bother you. False doctrine ought to bother you. It's going to cost you your eternal soul. It says, whoever runs ahead and does not have the doctrine of Mashiach does not have God. You're not in contact with God. You don't have Hashem. Now, there's a sect of Hasidim that want to talk about being in contact with their tzaddik, their Rebbe. And they use this word, hiskashrus, and it means a connection, contact. Listen, my sins kept me out of contact with God, but He had mercy on me, and He sent His Memra, His Word, and His Word took on human flesh and became the Mashiach and made my Kippurah. And then He came and He knocked on my heart's door one day, and I received Him. I received Him and His doctrine. And now I have the Ruach of Mashiach. How do I know that? The last verse of second chapter of 1 Corinthians. I have the Ruach of Mashiach. Let me give you an example of this in the book of Acts. They got to the border of Miletus, and they didn't know whether to go this way or that way. They were at a crossroads. And the Ruach of Mashiach would not allow them to go into this dangerous area. That was going to be reserved for the latter part of Rav Shaul's ministry. But because they had the Ruach of Mashiach, they were supernaturally led. Hallelujah. And we're born again and we have the Ruach of Mashiach. And we believe that God is one. Yes, we are not tritheists. We don't believe in three gods. We believe Adonai Echad. We believe in one God. But we also believe what the rabbis historically believed, that there is a Ruach HaKodesh. And that God does have His Word. His Word does not return void. Isaiah chapter 55. He created the world with His Word. His Word isn't a creature. He created the world with His Word. It says, God sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. By the Word of the Lord were the heavens made. And so we know that God is one. But He also is Meshulash. He is threefold. Hallelujah. Where do I see that word in the Tanakh? Chapter 4 of Kohelet, verse 12. And Kohelet is Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verse 12. And oh, hallelujah. You have to see this. When you it's going to cost you something, friend, that you never took the time to look at every single Hebrew word in the Tanakh. You were too busy looking at all those other Hebrew books. You couldn't take time for the Hebrew Bible. And let me just say this, and then I'll get to your questions. If you will go through the Hebrew Bible, you will see that there are several times when the word Elohim is translated gods. But it also, the word can also be translated in the singular. Hear, O Israel, Hashem, Elohim, our gods, is Hashem, a unity. Now, we don't believe in three gods, but we do believe that Hashem, that is Avinu, Elokeinu, is God. We believe that the Memra that came forth from God is God, and we believe that the Ruach HaKodesh is God. Does that mean we believe in three gods? No. It means that God is, that Hashem is one in His underlying being, but He is threefold in the distinctions of His Kedusha. Now, when I say distinctions, I mean you cannot confound and blur the distinctions between God and between Him and His Word and between His Word and the Ruach, the Spirit of God, that and you see all of these in the very first verses of Bereishis, because in the beginning it says God spoke, He sent His Word, He created everything. It says the Ruach HaElohim was hovering over the face of the waters. And so this is who God is. Now, you wouldn't appreciate it. Let's see, we have three ladies over here. Now, Veronica, imagine this. We have these three ladies. How do you think these two ladies would feel if, when this lady showed up, I said, oh, you know, really, she's just Linda in disguise. And the other lady, yeah, she's just coming in disguise. In other words, these two don't really exist. It's just, they are just modes or disguises that she wears. Well, they would be highly offended. What do you mean? And there are people who are Sabellianites. And what do they do? Sabellius was another false prophet. The J.W. Arian was one kind of false prophet who said that the Mashiach is really just a created being. Then you have Sabellius. Now, what did Sabellius say? Sabellius said that it's just God is just this quick change artist, and sometimes he can appear one way, and sometimes he can appear another way. Now, we have a cult called the Jesus Only Oneness Pentecostals, and they teach this doctrine. And it is a terrible heresy. And when you talk to them about Sabellius, they look at you with the same cow-like expression that these ladies use, these JWs use, when you tell them about Arius. It doesn't matter to them that what they believe has already been proven to be wrong, that it is a heresy, that this person has already been kicked out of the people of God. He's already been declared a heretic, and they should fear that but what they're doing is they're running ahead of the doctrine of Mashiach, and they don't have God. They are not saved. They are not born again. They don't know the Lord. And what am I saying here? I'm saying that the second letter of Yohanan, that verse there, tells you very clearly that if you're going to give up the doctrine of the Bible, you're also going to give up God. You are going to be someone who is lost. You can stand on a street corner and hold up any kind of cult literature you want. But if you if you confound the persons, if you do this, if you confuse the persons, or if you say that Yeshua is all there is, then what you're really saying is that the Father was hanged on the tree. And you're also saying that the Ruach HaKodesh who came on Shavuos, the one that Yeshua promised, he called him the Paraclete, that really wasn't anything other than just Yeshua. In other words, Yeshua is everything, and the other two don't exist at all. Yeshua is just a quick change artist that puts on these disguises, but the other two don't exist. Well, that would mean that Yeshua was a liar. Because he says very clearly that the Father sent him. And if you want eternal life, you have to believe in the one that he sent. Well, if there wasn't one that he sent, if he didn't exist. Look, if I tell you that Mr. Jones sent me here today and there is no Mr. Jones, well, I'm a liar. And you have to see that the Sabellian error is very serious. We're talking about patripassianism, where you put to death on the tree the Father. We're talking about basically Unitarianism. We're talking about how you cannot put the Holy Spirit to flight, and you cannot sacrifice the Father. You cannot say that Yeshua is all there is. Now, if you think that you can make God one by doing that, you're bringing in all kinds of other problems that are even greater. And if you can, if you want to use the book of Acts as your confirmation and say, well, look, in the early days, they baptized in the name, and they gave the mikvah, the Tevilah mikvah, in the name of Yeshua. So you're just going to ignore Matthew, the end of Matthew, the last verses of Matthew, says that we are to go into all the world and make disciples. In the name of Ha'av, Ha'bin, and Ha'ruach HaKodesh. And we cannot confuse the distinctions, the holy distinctions within God. This is who God is. And you know, at the end of 1 Thessalonians, it says, May God Himself, may He preserve your whole Ruach, your spirit, And may he preserve your body and your nephesh. Now we know the nephesh is the soul. In the beginning, Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, man became a nishmat chayim. His soul, he became a living soul. So look, I have a ruach, I have a nephesh, and I have a body. I have a spirit, I have a soul, and I have a body. You cannot confuse those things. Look, if I lose part of my body, let's say I'm a quadra amputee, and I lose my legs and my arms. Well, I still have my mind. You say, yeah, but what if you get your brain dead? Well, there's still my spirit. And what does it say in Kohelet chapter 12, verse 7? That the Ruach will return to Elohim who gave it. So you see, there's a threefold aspect to who you are. You're a body, you're a ruach, and you're a nephesh. And you don't confuse those things. So why would you want to confuse the threeness of God and take his threeness and throw it out the window? Because you wouldn't do that with yourself. You would treat do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Do unto God what you would do unto yourself. There's no way that I'm going to confuse my body, my spirit, and my soul. There's no way. Because I know they are distinct. And I know that even though there's three, there's only one of me. Can anybody say praise the Lord?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And this doctrine is important, friend. Because if you throw this doctrine out the window, you throw God out the window with it. And that's what we're trying to say this morning. And oh, hallelujah, it's so important that you see this. I want you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. And I want us to go to the second chapter. And I want you to see something here. It says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Ruach HaKodesh. For they are narishkeit. They're foolishness to him. And he's not able to have personal saving knowledge of them because they are discerned in the Ruach HaKodesh. If you are a Sabellian, if you are an Arian, you are not going to agree with the Bible because you're going to run ahead and your ears will be tickled and some false prophet will be able to lead you out of the people of God. And you're going to get yourself mixed up in a cult. And that's what we're talking about this morning. In the early days of the Assemblies of God, this cult tried to take over. And they had to fight it then, and we're going to have to fight it now. Friend, it's so important for you to see that your salvation is at stake here. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
Can anybody agree with John when he says, and look, what are we talking about? We're talking about a spirit of error. We're talking about doctrines of demons. We're talking about whether or not you're going to be a Charles Taze Russell. And there are many people that will not agree with the Bible. And apparently Russell was one of them. Look at this verse. 1 Thessalonians. You know, you really should study 1 Thessalonians. In the second chapter, he talks about how the people understood the word of the Lord, that it was not the word of men, but what it really was the word of the Lord. If you can't make a distinction between the word of Charles Taze Russell and the word of God, then you're not like the Thessalonians. They could discern between the word of men and the word of God. When Paul showed up and he started preaching the word of God, they could discern that word. They could see that what he was preaching from the Torah was the word of Almighty God. It was not the word of men. Look at that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 13. Can you discern the difference between the word of God and the word of men? That's number one. If you can't, you're not born again. Number two, I want to make this point. In 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 4, verse 8, he tells them to not scorn Hashem who gives you his Ruach HaKodesh. to not scorn Hashem who gives you his Ruach HaKodesh. Listen, the Ruach HaKodesh was given to me to lead me into all truth. I cannot grieve the Holy Spirit. If I grieve the Holy Spirit, I'm in trouble. If my flesh, look, if Satan sifts my flesh like wheat, and he finds an area of weakness, and he starts leading me down the primrose path, and man, I'm going down that path with the devil, and I'm smelling the flowers, and it's getting sweeter and sweeter to my flesh, I have to then start to fight, because if I grieve the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit is not going down that path with me, if I'm trying to sit at the table to have fellowship with the Lord, but I'm also trying to have fellowship with demons and devils, if I'm trying to have it both ways, sooner or later I'm going to have to say, no, get thee behind me, Satan. And then as far as my flesh is concerned, I'm going to have to admit in my flesh is no good thing. Romans chapter 7 verse 18. And then I'm going to have to put to death my flesh. I'm going to have to mortify my flesh. I'm going to have to get filled by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to have to stand on Romans 8:13 that says, if by the Spirit of God you put to death the works of the flesh, you will live. And I have to fight the good fight, and I have to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. And that's what I've got to do. And if you're born again, you will do that. You will not sit with the scoffers. You will not sit with the Arians and the Sabellians. You won't do it. Not if you're born again. Oh no, you won't, friend. You won't. And apparently, Charles Taze Russell didn't get it. He didn't get it about 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 8. That he was scorning the Lord who gives you his Holy Spirit. He didn't have the Ruach HaKodesh. He didn't have the Holy Spirit. He had a spirit of error. He had doctrines of demons. And he was not walking in the truth. And he was not agreeing with the truth. Listen, friend, I want to go to heaven. Is there anybody here that wants to go to heaven? Listen, friend, you think that I want to trade off my salvation for a bunch of error and wicked heretical doctrine? Why do we have a Bible school, friend? Why is it important? Because it says in 2 John chapter 1 verse 9 that whoever runs ahead of the doctrine of Mashiach does not have God. I want to know the doctrine of the Mashiach. I want to know what the Mashiach taught the Shilohim. I want to know what the truth is. You say, yeah, but you're talking a lot about the church fathers and the church councils and all of this. Well, no, I'm not really getting off on that, because all they were doing was hammering out what the Bible actually said. And they were identifying the heretics. They were identifying the Charles Taze Russells of the 3rd century. People like Arius. They were identifying the oneness people of the early centuries, the Sabellians. They were identifying these people. And what were they doing? They were bringing forth the doctrine of Mashiach, the doctrine that was given to the Shilohim and handed on to us. And we have to fight. We have to struggle. You know, in the Yiddish, there's a word, Kampf. I don't like it because of the Mein Kampf that Hitler wrote. So I'm going to find a better word than that. But we do have to fight. We are told in that little book, it's only 25 verses, Yehuda, the half-brother of Mashiach, he wrote this. He says, you must fight for the faith once and for all delivered to the Kadoshim. And don't give it up to the heretics. Now, look, this is 2009, 50 years from now, 2059, Beth Shalom will still be around if they have a business meeting on that January 2059, and at that business meeting they have members who will raise their right hand like the president did when he took the oath of office, and declare that they will defend the doctrine of the Scriptures. That they will stand for the doctrine of Mashiach. And if there's a Sabellian in the group, if there's an Arian in the group, and they try to take the congregation in that direction, it will be destroyed. Because they don't have God, basically. They don't have God. And so what we need, we have a constitution that says that on the first month of every year, there will be a business meeting where the treasurer will give her a report or his report how the tithes were spent, and there will be a quorum of members, and these members are people who have said, as for me and my house, we're going to believe this doctrine in this book, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the Kehillah of Hashem. That's what they're going to say. And if there are people like that who are eligible for the offices, so that there will be an election of officers, and those officers will keep the work going, godly men and women who will keep the preaching pure, keep the pulpit defended, and fight for the faith once for all delivered to the saints, then that congregation will still exist. It'll still be around if the Lord tarries. So what I'm talking about is very important. You're either building with silver and gold, or with wood, hay, and stubble. If you build with wood, hay, and stubble, what you're building is going to burn up. And I don't want to waste my time. Hallelujah. And I want to thank God that the Assemblies of God has good doctrine. The Assemblies of God has already fought these battles. And the Arians and the Sabellians have already been tossed out the door. They've already been shown the door. And Russell, he was a very wicked man. He was an evil, false prophet. And he liked to sneer a great deal. And there are scoffers that like to sneer. They go in front of Beth Shalom and they spit. They go out into the street and they sneer. And I'll tell you something, if hard looks, Ezekiel talks about don't be afraid of their hard looks. If hard looks would kill, I would have been dead a long time ago. This rejection, this terrible feeling of contempt that you get all the time, it would have already taken me down. But by the grace of God, I've kept my nose in the Bible. I've studied every one of the Hebrew words in the Tanakh and every one of the other words in the Brit Hadashah and in the original language. I have seen the content of these words. And now what I'm doing is taking the best Hebrew, the best Aramaic, the best Yiddish, and I'm pouring that freight into these wonderful words. And I'm translating the Brit Hadashah into Yiddish. And it's keeping me strong in the Lord because I'm going back. You see, our problem is we don't study the Bible enough and we don't study it systematically. And you've gotten away a little bit from 1 Thessalonians. You have to get back to it. You have to see that God wants to preserve your ruach, your nefesh, your basar, completely. He wants to keep you, and you must keep yourself, and that means you must not go beyond what is written, and you must not try to progress beyond the doctrine of Mashiach, the Torah of Mashiach. You must keep yourself in the love of God. But I want to say this. We know that the Word of God is true. The way you tell counterfeit is by you compare it to the real, to the actual. And we know what truth feels like and what truth looks like. And we have seen the truth. And our spirit, the spirit that wrote the Bible, agrees. But this Charles Taze Russell, what did he say? He caricatured the doctrine that God is Echad, He is a unity, He is three, He is three in one. The Zohar says that. We have that passage from the Zohar up on our website. The Jewish people say that the Zohar is this holy book and every word of it is true. The Hasidim believe every word of it is true. Well, why don't they believe those words? But this man, who didn't know anything about the Jewishness or even the original languages of the Bible, he caricaturized this doctrine as three gods in one person, and he snarled. This is not what we believe. This is not what the Bible says. We do not believe in tritheism, three gods. There's only one God. God is Echad. The word Echad is a word that is used about a man and a woman. A man and a woman will get married and they will become Echad. You see, it's a plurality in a unity. And if God is a plurality in a unity, if that's who he is, and that's what he says he is, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. He says that. You going to argue with that? If a man and a woman get married and they become Echad, does that mean that they've lost their plurality even in the midst of their unity? No. They're still there. And the man is not the woman, and the woman is not the man. In our day and age, when we call evil good and good evil, we've forgotten the distinctions. We even want two men to get married or two women to get married. We don't even know what marriage is, and we don't understand who God is as a result. And we've tried to twist the Bible to conform with our wicked, darkened minds. Listen, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that you need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That your mind has to be renewed. That's why you need strong preaching. Friend, you need strong preaching. People listen to me preaching, they say, this guy preaches really strong. Why is he preaching like that? And I always say, well, I'm preaching basically to myself. And you say, well, wow, Pastor, what a backslider you must be if you have to hear preaching like that all the time. Well, friend, have you ever seen these old Rocky movies? You know, he's over there in the corner with his trainer, and he's had the daylights beaten out of him. It's like the devil is just going to cold cock him. And he gets over there in the corner, and the trainer takes the Epsom salt, puts it to his nose, and he has to get his eyes open. He throws water in his face, and he's got to get him up on his feet to get out there and fight again. And good preaching ought to be like that. Hallelujah. Brasakaranda Ramashika. Preaching ought to get you up and get you back out there to fight with the devil. That's the kind of preaching we need. That's the kind of preaching I have to have. And I could become a false prophet, and so could you. Listen, if I ever come in here and say, oh, you know, I don't believe in the Shema anymore. No, I know what it says. It says that God is Echad, but I don't really believe that. Well, you should get up and walk out. You should just get up and walk out. If I'm not preaching the Bible, if I'm not preaching every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, then I'm not getting any victory over the devil, and you're not going to get any victory over the devil from listening to me. The reason we have to be so circumspect, you know, I tell people all the time, Joseph knew something when he found out the hard way you should never be alone with a woman. When he saw all those servants leave, and he was alone there with Potiphar's wife, he should have said, oh, I'm sorry, I got to go to the water closet, goodbye, and got out of there immediately. But because he didn't avoid the appearance of evil, and then she was able to get him in trouble even though he was innocent. If you will make a commitment to never be alone with the opposite sex, if you'll just be like Billy Graham. Billy Graham was never alone with a non-family member. Never. Ever. You see, it's very hard for a false prophet to make up a false charge about you, that you're some kind of fornicator, some kind of wicked person, if you're never alone. Never, ever, 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 under any circumstances, alone with a woman. Ever.
Or a man.
Or a man. Yeah, in this day and age, we have to be careful about even children. If some little 12-year-old says, I want to come into your office, Pastor, and get a little counseling, you better say, well, bring your mother in too, you know, or something. Have another person there. Because we're living in a decadent age. We are in Sodom and Gomorrah. We are in Larry Flint country. We're in Playboy Hugh Hefner country. And you can smell the sulfur. You can see the fire that's starting to burn. You can see that Sodom Sodom and Gomorrah are going to be destroyed. And you cannot look back. And you have to avoid even the appearance of evil. And you've got to keep yourself under strong preaching. And you need to be a member in good standing of a congregation that rightly divides the word of truth. You need to study to show yourself approved. You need to be under strong preaching, and you need to be accountable under a sound congregation. Now you see, if anybody wants to point a finger at me, I have a presbyter. I have a director. I have a superintendent. I have people in Springfield. I have people in the local section. I have people in the district. I have about 18 bosses. I have to go to sectional meetings. I have to sit and listen to somebody else preach. I have to have my life, my finances, and everything an open book. And all of this is good, because when people sin, they do it in the dark. When people get mixed up with the world, they run from God, and they get involved in things they shouldn't be involved in. Look at old Jonah. Here he was with a bunch of heathen sailors, but they were even more godly than he was, because they were aghast at what he was telling them, that he was actually running from God. You see, you cannot be a runner from God. There are all these people. Where are you going to the house of the Lord these days, Josephine? Oh, well, we haven't found a good place yet. Well, how long have you been looking? Well, we've been looking now for about 2 or 3 years. Well, what are you basically doing every week? Do you attend anywhere? Well, really, we don't. No, this is a person who is in danger. Who is in danger? Because when you start letting your flesh have the upper hand, and you start wandering around in the flesh, doing your own thing, well then, Jonah, there's a whale coming for you. It's got your name on it. And the Lord is going to get you back under His discipline, under His authority, one way or the other. And that's what happened with Jonah. He was a prophet of God. But he wasn't just unaccountable. He wasn't just somebody who could do his own thing. He tried to do his own thing. Hallelujah. He tried. You got to hand it to Jonah. He gave it a college try. He really tried to do his own thing. But the Lord loved him too much to let him do his own thing. And the thing is, don't you see that if you have a congregation, and if you are accountable there, then it's really for your protection.
Yes, sir.
Because when you want to start believing something that maybe isn't in the Bible, there's going to be somebody who can correct you. And the main thing is, you need to hear strong preaching every week to keep the pilot light of the fear of the Lord brightly burning on the stove, so that you will always be boiling with zeal for God, man. Always preaching, always on fire. And that the devil will not be able to dangle any carrots and say, well, you know, the world does have this. Well, think about this. And you know what? If you will be a responsible member of a local congregation, you'll be part of the solution and not part of the problem. And that congregation will be able to stay on fire for God and to do the work of the Lord. I have found I have to go out and do street preaching. I gotta go out there, I'll be out there tomorrow morning on Avenue J, just like I was last week. Yes, it does something for me to get out there and face off with Goliath and to draw the line in the sand. The world is here and the Lord is here. And I'll tell you something, the Lord is with me when I preach on the street. He's with me because, He knows that I need Him then, and I know that I need Him then, and He always rewards me. Last week He gave me a wonderful gift after I preached on the street. He gave me on a CD all the rabbinic writings, and now I can show anybody, even on our website, that what we're preaching is in line with rabbinic exegesis. That we don't have some far out non-Jewish interpretation of the Bible. Because there have always been rabbis that could see, as the Spirit of God gave them the light to see, that God is Ehad. He is one, just like a man and a woman. But just like a man and a woman, you don't blur the distinction between the man or the woman. Look at the Bible. A man was never supposed to wear women's clothing. Right? You couldn't lose the distinction. And oh, hallelujah, we don't want to lose the distinction that God is one, but He is also three. And I found this wonderful text right there on that CD that has the Zohar, where the Zohar says that God is three. And where does it get that? By doing rabbinic exegesis of Daniel. Hallelujah. And in Daniel, he speaks of the Ancient of Days. But then he also speaks of the Bar Enosh coming on the clouds of glory. And all peoples worship. Even though Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow down to idols, they will bow down to this Mashiach Bar Enosh coming on the clouds, because he's not an idol. He is the very one who comes from the Father and reveals the Father to us. Listen, friend, I don't want to be a Mary Baker Eddy. I don't want to be a Charles Taze Russell. I don't want to lose God. I don't want to lose my salvation. I want to preach what the Bible says. I want to preach what the Word of God says. I want the Lord to say to me, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Hallelujah. And Arianism is a very serious heresy. It is a heresy that started way back about 1800 years ago. And this heresy denied the eternality of the Mashiach. That he isn't eternal, that he's a created being. And old Charles Taze Russell came along, and that just seemed like a little morsel he couldn't resist. He just bit on the devil's hook right there. And the devil, who always is trying to find a place. Did you know the Bible says make no place for the devil? It says don't give the devil an open door. Don't give him a foothold. Don't give him any opportunity. Put on the whole armor of God. Hallelujah. So that you can stand against the wiles, the deceits, the schemes of the devil. The devil has a wily plan. He can make something so evil sound so good. And when he comes for you, and he will, you must resist him. When he tries to reclaim you, you got to stand against him. And when he puts a little bait out for you, you can't bite on it like Charles Taze Russell did. Because this man lost not only his soul, but millions of people who followed him. They were also destroyed. We're talking about Arianism. We're talking about Arianism. You have to know the doctrines. Why do we have a school that meets on Monday nights? Why will we have our first session day after tomorrow? Because we have to teach people the doctrine. Because if you go ahead of the doctrine of Mashiach, you do not have Hashem. Now the Jewish people say, "Oh, but He is our God. Of course we have Him. We're in contact with Him. We're even in contact with our Rebbe, our Tzaddik Rebbe. We have this Hishkashrus, this contact, this connection." Well, friend, you could also be connected to the devil. You could be connected to a false prophet. You could be connected to a false Mashiach. He said, the Mashiach said in the last days, there would be terrible false Mashiachs that would arise, and many would follow them, and many would be destroyed. It says, narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. Haye Olam. And it says, very few people will find that way. It says, there's a broad highway that most people are going to take, and it's going to lead to destruction. I have to keep my flesh on the narrow way toward the narrow door. And I have to keep my nose in the Bible. Now what I've got right here is something that's called a fellowship card. Here's one for my wife and here's one for me. Now this fellowship card says that there are people that are checking me out. They're checking out my finances. If I have credit card debt and I've declared bankruptcy 100 times and I owe everybody in the world and I'm running from the law and running from the credit card companies and basically I'm a crook, I'm a thief, well, they're going to take this little card and they're going to tear it up. If I'm an immoral man, a philanderer, a chicaner, they're going to take me and put me out the door. If my doctrine is wrong, if I'm a Russellite, if I'm a Sabellian, if I'm a Jesus only, quote unquote, Pentecostal, oneness Pentecostal, they're going to say, you're not with us, friend. You're with a cult. We're going to throw you out the door. You're gone. Goodbye. And you're going to see a little thing that comes out every month. And it says, here are the ones that have been defrocked. Here are the ones that are, dismissed. Here are the ones that we will no longer associate with, and there you would see my name. And this is why my phone is ringing all the time. There are so many anti-Moshiach people who hate what we're doing, evangelizing God's chosen people, that they want to try to find something. So they will send us pornographic email and say, please open it, open it, open it. And the Holy Spirit says, don't open it. And we delete it. Hallelujah. Because see, we have to run a race. There's a race that we've got to run. And we can't let the devil ensnare us or trip us up. And right here I have a book. It's called Our Faith and Fellowship. And I knew the author, G. Raymond Carlson, a more godly or tender man, a more loving man you could not find. And he writes in this book about the doctrine and about our faith and our fellowship. You know, we are standing on the word of the Lord. The apostles, the Shilohim of Mashiach, they had a certain way of operating. In Cornelius's house, Kepha, the Shaliach, he said, how can we deny these people the ritualarium waters of the mikveh? Because we see that they have had the Ruach HaKodesh fall on them exactly the way he fell on us on Shavuos. For, and there he uses an inferential Greek conjunction that makes an inference, we hear them speaking in Lishonot HaDeshot. Hallelujah. In other tongues. So he was basically laying out a doctrine there that tongues are the initial evidence for this empowerment that God gives. Now, the Assemblies of God didn't discover this doctrine. It's a doctrine that's over 2,000 years old. It goes all the way back to Kepha in Cornelius' house. I want to stand with him. I want to have his doctrine. I do not want to progress beyond his doctrine. If I do, I won't have God. What does it say? It says, our fellowship is with him, and your fellowship must be with us. And this is how we know that we are born again. We love the brethren. We have the Ruach HaKodesh. In this world, in this evil world, we live as he lived. Yeshua lived. And there are other tests of faith. But what I'm trying to get across today is that we believe in Hashem, Elokeinu Avinu. And we also believe in the Memra, who became Moshiach Tzidkenu. And we believe in the Ruach HaKodesh. But we also say, Adonai Echad. There is one God. Hallelujah. And what I'm going to ask you to do today is to pray for Beth Shalom, for our membership meeting tomorrow. That yes, we will have that quorum. And yes, those members will live godly lives and believe the godly doctrine of the Bible, the inerrant scriptures. And yes, that when we receive a new member, which is what we're going to do tomorrow, that this person will see the great responsibility that comes with membership. Because the members have the voting power. And they could vote in a false prophet as the pastor. And then that false prophet could lead the whole congregation into a destructive mode. And we have to see that if you're going to be an officer, if you're going to be one of the officers, you have to go back and read the pastoral epistles and see the godliness that is required of you. That you must be a godly person. And you must walk in the light as he is in the light. And the fellowship that we have must be a real fellowship. It can't be a pseudo formal thing. It has to be real. Father, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name that's above every name, I want to pray right now that we would agree that God had a word. He always had that word. That word was always with him. And he also had a spirit. And that spirit was always with him. The eternal word, the eternal spirit. And we want to thank you that this eternal word took on human form. And he came and made the Kippurah for us. And then he gave us the Ruach HaKodesh that comes from the Father. And oh God, I want to thank you for this. Lord, may we never grieve the Holy Spirit. May we never scorn Hashem, who gives us His Ruach HaKodesh. May we never violate the Ruach of Mashiach when He leads us and guides us, as He did the Shulachim in Acts chapter 16, verse 7, I believe it is. Lord, I pray this morning on this Shabbos that this drasha, this little sermon that I'm giving this morning, that it will pierce some people out there who are backslidden, who are congregation hoppers, who are not responsible members of a local congregation, who can't be counted on to get there, to open the doors, to sweep the floor, to prepare the refreshments, to greet the Kadoshim, to do the work. I want to pray right now this morning, Lord, that everywhere, all over the world, even the president, Barack Obama, he has found that the congregation that he was attending didn't measure up in many ways. I'm going to pray, Lord, that he will find a congregation that does measure up, where the word is faithfully preached.
Yes, God. Pastor, are you on still?
Yeah, keep going.
Thank you. I also want to say, I'm Linda Goebel, pastor's wife, that this membership, frequently we will see a sad little paragraph that says dismissed, where the reverend has been dismissed. Doesn't happen all at once, but sometimes the reverend is dismissed. We happily see where people have transferred credentials from other denominations. We happily see where people have moved in from another district. Those things are good things. But it's a sad thing, and it's always a heartache for me when I see dismissed. We also see a word called lapsed, because they didn't pay their membership dues or membership tithes. So there's things that you have to do when you're in that. But moreover, when we are in the ministry, we who are called to pastor, we are under shepherds to the great shepherd, and we have a duty. I can sum up what the pastor has said today about the Jesus only movement. You can recognize it because people say in the name of Jesus only when they pray, when they baptize, when they pray. It's just very misguided, misdirected, messed up doctrine. I can honestly say we try to protect the sheep from the wolves. There are wolves. There are wolves, ravaging wolves. We try to encourage people not to be lone rangers. God has called us to fellowship. We all need to belong someplace and be faithful and committed to that place. Yes, we'll visit a time or two here and there. We love fellowship. We'll have plenty of time to do it in heaven. But there is a special job for you to do in your church. Do you know what it is this morning? Because the Spirit is speaking to you and to me. And so I want to encourage everybody, as we go into prayer, that you will ask the Lord to use you and to cleanse you for the service, and to also cleanse you from past works. I'll pray, and then we have our next speaker, Sister Miriam Gambino. Lord, we thank you for this message, that we would keep away from false doctrines. Lord, that we would try to show our brethren, when we do have friends who are in Jesus only and some of the other ones, that the doctrine is not right. It is not biblical. In fact, it's heretical. And Lord, that you will deliver us from these things, these sins that easily beset us. Keep us away from these things. And Lord, we know that you will come as a refiner's fire, and that you will refine these things. And Lord, we do pray that each person will have a burning desire in their hearts to share the Word of God in all its fullness, to share the Jesus of the Bible in all of His beauty, in all of His glory, to reveal Messiah from the pages of Scripture to those people who have hungry hearts. And we do pray, Lord, even this morning, that people will have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit, what the Ruach HaKodesh, what the Ruach Allah has to say to those who are gathered together in this hearing. We ask this in the name of Ha'av, Ha'ben, and HaRuach HaKodesh, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And now, Sister Miriam, would you come forward, please?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Good morning, good afternoon.
Good morning.
It was morning, now it's afternoon, and it's good to be with everybody in the sanctuary.
Amen.
Veronica gave me a tape that I listen to all the time. When I'm in the world and I'm not listening to the tape, I get distracted. But when I'm listening to the tape, I'm in the world, and it is, raise your hands in the sanctuary, raise your hand in the sanctuary. So we are in the sanctuary today.
Hallelujah.
And when you raise your hand, you feel the presence,
yes,
of the Lord.
Amen.
And that song continually goes on in my heart. I have the tape, and I'm thankful that Veronica gave it
to
me. And I love the music. I love being in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
There are a lot of people talking about the stock market and the money and all the things, but don't you worry. Don't listen to that, because you're not in the world.
Amen.
Okay, we are going to be in that sanctuary. We're going to be operating in the supernatural.
Amen.
And the most wonderful place to be is under God's protection.
Amen.
And we have a lot of psalms that tell us that. We know it's Psalm 91, and the Holy Spirit just gave me Psalm 46 today.
Amen.
So my topic is God, our refuge in times,
yes,
of turmoil.
Amen.
And we do know that the storm has already started. We're in the storm, but don't you worry, because God will be with us during the storm, is my title. And if we turn to Psalm 46, I'm going to try to just break it up into little bits so we could get everything out of that. I'll wait for you to get Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We read that all the time. Now we're going to be living that. And now we're going to have to embrace what all those words actually say. Continuing. Therefore, will not be... Therefore, will not we fear? Through the earth is removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. So we're told that something terrible is going to happen, but we are not going to have fear.
Amen.
Verse 3, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, through the mountains shake, with the swelling thereof, Selah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whenever you hear Selah, it means to take note, or help me out here, pay attention. It's important. It's warning. I'm going to read this whole thing, and I'm going to break it up. There is a river The streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. I think I went to, I don't know where I went to the whole thing, I'm sorry. The heathens rage, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolation he has made in the earth. He makes wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Now you all know this one. Be still and know that I am God.
Amen.
I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Many times when the psalmist wants us to pay attention to something, he will write the words Selah. And many times when God wants to take our attention, he repeats it. He says it twice. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. That was repeated about three times. So now I'm going to take it apart. We're going to go back to Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our strength. He's our helper.
Yes.
What did I say about that? He is our strength, because when you're trusting in him, you're leaning on him for everything. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be dependent upon him for everything. He wants us to have conversation. God didn't have a family, but he created one. And he wanted children. And you are his children, because he calls us, we call him our father. And it's not a time that we are to be insecure or we're going to feel unstable, because we have our confidence and we put it in the Lord, because he is our strength.
Amen.
The next part tells us, will not we fear? What is there to fear? He did not give us the spirit of fear. He gave us the spirit of love, of power, and a sound mind.
Amen.
So there is a storm that is coming. Number three tells us, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. He's drawing a picture. There's a storm coming. Just the way Jesus was out on the water and they were in the storm, he was with them. He was with them. So we have to know is that hard times are coming, turmoil. And we know that the world is going to be in chaos. Terrible things are going to happen. However, God's people will be preserved.
Amen.
God will give his people safety in this time of turmoil. It may not be physical safety, but it will be peace. We always hear these stories, there's a hurricane or there's a storm and people pray and every single house was destroyed, but somebody's house was still standing. Nothing was touched. Even with the tsunami, they found there was a Bible. Yeah. So supernaturally, we're going to have to be operating in the supernatural.
Amen.
We are in the world, but God's people are not of this world. That's what he tells us. To have fellowship with this world is enmity with God. And our mindsets must be in that supernatural realm. And we know that the battle is in that realm. I'm going to Psalm 46, number 4. There is a river. Now this was just a whole opening of new things for me. A river. Whenever we read the word river in the scriptures, it's a metaphor. Does anybody know what the river is a metaphor for? All right, I'll tell you. It's a metaphor for our worship. When we raise our hands in the sanctuary, the Spirit of the Lord flows through us. And there was a whole book written on the river, and I couldn't understand this. I couldn't understand. But just the way the river flows and it has movement. It's not stagnant water. It's moving.
Yes.
Is the moving of the Holy Spirit, and it's His glory, its power, power in the midst of His faithfulness to us. I'm going to do a lot of little references now back and forth to the flowing, the worship. When we worship the Lord and we come together in the presence of the Lord, His presence is with us. And that's what is the river, the flowing river. Looking at some of these geographical locations in the Bible, you have the pool of Siloam, and it was flowing. You always have these little springs with the city of David. I'm learning so much that I'm teaching this course, I'm only two chapters ahead of what I'm teaching. But it's like a whole new thing. There were always little springs. And where did the springs do? They moved. Water was very important in ancient times, because that was the source of life. Just the way the Holy Spirit is the source of life, the water. And these springs flowed, and they flowed into larger bodies of water, and eventually into the pool of Siloam, and it went into the Dead Sea. And God wants to give us abundance, and He wants to take the dead things and make them alive again.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And also, the river also made a reference to going fishing, you know, and that's your evangelical fishing, as the Lord says, we're going to fish for believers, evangelism. Okay. I'm going to go to Ezekiel 46, verses 1 to 12, and I'll wait for you to get there. And I'm learning as I am going through this too. So we're doing it together. Ezekiel chapter 47. And here we see Ezekiel talking about a river. So that's a metaphor for the tabernacle, for the worship, for the glory, for the Holy Spirit. Supernatural river brings God's flourishing life. It flows from the throne of God.
Yes.
Flows from the throne of God. So you want me to read Ezekiel 47? Okay. Afterwards he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood towards the east, and the waters came down from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. Many times the Lord tells us He's going to put a fountain. The purpose of the supernatural river is to bring God's flourishing life and healing.
Healing waters.
And healing waters. We read about the living waters is the Holy Spirit and the blessings of life that he has come to bring us. We also read in John 7:38, it would say, out of your belly will flow rivers of flowing water. So that's a metaphor for the Holy Spirit and God being with us. In Zechariah 14:8, it tells us again about living waters that go out from Jerusalem, and they're not stagnant, they flow. They're constantly flowing. So God uses a lot of references to river, and that's how we decipher the scriptures. We do scripture by scripture, and we compare. In Isaiah 8:6, it talks about the waters of Shiloh. The pool of Siloam was fed by a gentle spring, served as Jerusalem's underground source of water in times of siege by a hostile nation. It symbolizes that God's rule over Israel, yet Judah and Jerusalem split. They rejected all the wonderful things that God wanted to do for them, and that's how they came under the Assyrian captivity. We also read in I wrote little tiny notes here. In Revelation 22:1, about a river of water of life, which is the life-giving abundance of God's blessings and provisions that flow from His throne in the eternal state. And Linda always talks about a fountain of water, that God is going to give us a new fountain of water of lifestyle. Now I'm going back to Psalm 46, number 5. God is in the midst of her. Who is her? You. You're the church. You're the body of believers. 46, 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. Whenever we hear the Lord of hosts, he's the God that's going to fight our battles for us. The God of hosts is with us. We also know Emmanuel. In Isaiah, it says, God is with us. God has always been with us. The God of hosts is with us. He mentions that again in verse 11. God's presence guarantees that he is going to protect us. He's going to provide for us. And we have the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And it's going to take a lot of prayer and a lot of believing in the Spirit that God is going to protect us in these hard times. Depression is coming. We're not going to deny it. The storm has already started. So we have to be prepared. But don't fret, because God is with us. He will protect us. I have a conclusion somewhere here. I do have a conclusion that... I guess I didn't write my conclusion down. So God will be with us during the storm. He is our refuge and our strength in times of turmoil. And God is going to see us through. And we're not in the world. We are in his kingdom. Amen.